in our final week of Behind the Text, and I've loved these this series, and I'm excited to preach on this one. There is a lot in this one, okay? So if you are writing notes, you may just have to write really quickly, okay? Because I chose the whole book of Nehemiah, the whole book, right? So we're going to look at Nehemiah, but I've chosen just a topic that is going to go along with it. But just to give you some just background about Nehemiah, about the book that he wrote. And the book of Nehemiah is all about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So the walls of Jerusalem are in ruin. The gates are in ruins. They've been burned. They've been knocked down. God's people yet again, because it's what we've looked at, isn't it, over the last month. God's people yet again have messed up. They're in captivity, in the captivity of the Philistines. And so they're kind of, their city is ruined. The house of God is ruined. Everything seems ruined. And Nehemiah steps up to the plate, and we're told in the Bible in the first chapter of the book of Nehemiah that he sat and he mourned over the walls of Jerusalem. He sat and he wept over what he could see was happening to the house of God. He sat and he mourned over the people that were in exile. And so God begins to answer Nehemiah, and he begins to tell him, actually, Nehemiah, you are the answer to the problem. You see, because we can all sit and look and mourn over issues and over problems, but actually what we need to begin to realize is that as the people of God, we're the answer to the problem. We're the answer to the situation. And so when you begin to pray about something, I can remember back in 2003, sitting in a prayer meeting, weeping just over the way that young girls who had babies who weren't married, who were teenagers, were treated, and the way that they didn't feel they could go to any groups and they didn't feel that anybody was there for them. I can remember sitting in a prayer meeting in a week of prayer, just weeping every day over this. And then all of a sudden God went, well, then you do something. If you're the one who is weeping over this, if you're the one who, is concerned about this, you do something. And a similar thing happened to Nehemiah. And at the time, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. And he served the king. And so Nehemiah had to go to the king and had to ask for some time off. And he said to the king, I'll go and do this and then I'll come back to you. And there was a lot of, I'll do this, but then I will come back. There was real respect and real honor for the regime that he was serving at the time, even though it wasn't necessarily what he was going to want to do. And the Bible tells us that the king gave him favor and sent him with a few men to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There was probably, just a handful of them that went, and it was a big job. It was something that was should have taken them ages, but actually, with God's help, the Bible tells us in 52 days, the job was done. 52 days, the walls was rebuilt, and there was, people that came against them, and there were people that didn't want them to do what they were doing. This is what I know, being the daughter of a builder, is that it's actually easier sometimes to go in and do a new build than do a rebuild. Sometimes easier to go in and do a new build on a piece of land that all you've got to do, I say that, my dad worked really hard to do this, but all you've got to do is to prepare the land. You don't have to knock anything down. You don't have to get rid of what was already there. All you've got to do is you've got to prepare the land and build the building. It's sometimes easier to do a new build than a rebuild, but Nehemiah went to rebuild what once had been there. And what I want to do this morning is look at what it is to rebuild, because we're not talking here about rebuilding a place, we're talking about rebuilding a life. Because Nehemiah went to rebuild a place, but God calls us the living stones that build his house, and I think he calls us to rebuild life. It's not necessarily to rebuild a building, and we're thankful for what we have and the building that we stand in. And those of you who have been involved in the kind of, remodeling of this place will pretty much know it would have been easier to do a new build sometimes. James is amening that really loudly. I didn't quite get a preach it, sister, but But we didn't get an amen. And it would probably have been easier to get a piece of land and do some purpose built than what it has been all the time to rebuild this place. But we're not just in the business of rebuilding buildings. We're in the business of rebuilding lives. We're in within the calling of rebuilding lives. And you know what? When lives come into our church and when lives come into our world, they come in with a lot of rubble and a lot of ruin around them. Even people that you think are doing fine, they come in with a lot of ruin and a lot of rubble around them. And to work, we've got to learn to work past the mess of the past into the grace of the present. There is a way past what has been so you can go into what is coming. And what I want to do this morning, I've read this to us probably twice before, but I want to look about what God says about us. Whatever our ruins are, whatever your ruins are, they're going to be different to mine. Whatever our ruins are in our past, whatever things have gone before in our life, this is what God says about us today. Are you ready for this? Yeah. If you want these, don't try and write these down because I'm going to go way too fast. I will email them if you want them. Okay, the Bible says this in Romans 3:24 that we are justified. We are declared not guilty of sin. Romans 8 verse 1, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Romans 8 verse 2 says that we are set free from the law of sin and death. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says that we are sanctified and made acceptable in God's sight. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that we are righteous and holy in Christ. It doesn't matter what past we've had. This morning, if we know Jesus Christ, we are made righteous in him. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says that we will be made alive at the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says that we're a new creation, that the old is gone and the new is come. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that we receive God's righteousness. Galatians 3:28 says we are one in Christ with all other believers, whether we like that or not. Doesn't say that. Maybe the Message version or the Passion, but you know, we are one with all other believers in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 4, we are holy and blameless and covered with God's love. Ephesians 1 verses 5 and 6, we are adopted as God's children. Ephesians 1 7, our sins are taken away and we are forgiven. Ephesians 1 verses 10 and 11, we are brought under Christ's headship. Ephesians 1 verse 13, we are marked as belonging to God by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2 6, we have been raised to sit with Christ in glory. Ephesians 2 10, we are God's workmanship. Ephesians 2 13, we have been brought near to God. We're not far away from him this morning, but he has brought us near to him. Ephesians 3 6, we share in the promise in Christ. Ephesians 3 12, we can come with freedom and confidence into God's presence. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30, we are members of Christ's body, the church. Colossians 2, 10, we says this, we have been given fullness in Christ. Colossians 2, 11, we are set free from our sinful nature. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, we have eternal glory. This is the rebuild that we're on with this morning. What has been in our life has been, but this is what God says about you. This morning, every single one of those verses is written about you and written about me. Whatever has gone before has gone. Whatever stuff we have messed up with before, we have already done. Whatever heartache we have been through before, we have already been through. But today, we're on with the rebuild. Today, we're on with restoring what has been. We're on with moving past the mess of the past into the grace of the present and of the future. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to learn from Nehemiah four things. And I said, if you read my post on Facebook, that if you want to read the book of Nehemiah, can I just, if you've got the Message version, read it in that. It's amazing. It just puts it in like, I can understand it. It's absolutely incredible, okay? And it's what I've taken a lot of what I'm going to be speaking out of this morning. So four things that we can learn from Nehemiah about the rebuild that we are starting to do today. Number one, it's time to start. It's time to start. Nehemiah 2:18 says this, "We are with you," the guys who were with him said, "let's get started." Do you know what? We can always put off tomorrow what we could start today, but if we put it off till tomorrow, we're never going to start it. And so whatever your life has been through, whatever you have gone through this morning, it's the day to make the start on the rebuild. It's the day to start rebuilding. And there's been times in my life, I've done the rebuild quite a few times, because there's been times in my life where I think I'm going okay, and then God comes with something, or life comes with something, and I need to start and rebuild who I'm going to be in the next season of my life. And so this morning, it's time to start. Today is the perfect day to start, or to pick up again and continue the rebuild from what has been broken down. Do you know what? Nehemiah had to start with one brick. I wonder what it felt like to Nehemiah when he went to the edge of the wall and he picked up that first brick. That first brick that signified this whole thing is going to get done because it's my watch. It's my watch today. And so this whole thing, however long it takes me, I am going to do this thing. I wonder what it felt like to be those that were with him, to watch him pick up the first brick and to put the first brick down and say, this is the start of what God is going to do in the city that he calls his own. And he picked up the brick and he put it on the ground. And I have no idea then what he did with it, because I may be the daughter of a brickie, but I have no idea what you've got to do with it then. Okay. And then he picked up the next one and the next one and the next one. And so it continued for the next 52 days as they went about building the walls and building the gates of the city that had been torn to pieces. Today might be the start where you pick up that first brick, as it were, where you pick up that first memory and you say, today, I'm putting this under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Today, I'm taking this hurt here, and I'm just going to bring it, and no longer is it going to be kind of out there on its own, and all the time I'm looking at it. Today, it's just going to become part of the rebuild, because what the devil meant for harm, God has turned around, and today we're seeing it work for good. You see, today's a great day to start, to pick up that first part of your life, and to go, God, I am rebuilding now. Whatever has been, but today I pick up the first brick, I pick up the first tool, I pick up my Bible, and I begin to read it. Today, God, I'm going to go away and I'm going to begin to read some of those scriptures that we heard this morning. I'm going to begin to declare them over my life, because it's one of the bricks that I'm picking up, God, in the rebuild of who I am and who I'm going to be. Let's get started today. It's not about starting on everyone else's life. It's about starting on our life. When we look at the whole picture rather than breaking it down into stages, it may seem impossible. So find a place to start today. What part of you is broken? What part of you is crumbling? What part of you might be laid there in ruins because of life or because of something that has happened to you? What part of you is like that today? Just look at that. Don't try and look at everything. Just look at one of those places that you say, God, will you begin? Yeah. Will you begin to restore that? Yeah. Let's start here. Let's begin in one of those areas that's really difficult. Don't put off till tomorrow what you could do today. Invite God in. And I'm going to give us some time in a moment to do that, to invite God in to help us to begin to rebuild. Yeah. So the first thing that Nehemiah did is he started. Let's not put off starting. Let's not despise the day of small beginnings. Let's not walk away from this message this morning because it might be a bit too painful, because the Bible tells us that on the other side of mourning, there is joy. That on the other side of sorrow, there is joy. That on the other side of pain, there is progress. And so this morning, as we're in here and the presence of God is here, what part do you need to start rebuilding? They had to start on a part of the wall. There was a first brick. There was a first tool picked up. There was a first brick put down. Because everything has to start somewhere. So let's begin. The second thing was this, that it's time to see what is ours. says this in Nehemiah 2, verse 20. I shot back at them. This is Nehemiah talking to those who were calling him for building the wall. I shot back at them. The God of heaven will make us succeed. We're his servants and we're going to work rebuilding. You can keep your nose out of it. You get no say in this. Jerusalem is none of your business. He turned round to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, okay, who were the ones who came and they were telling him, you know, what do you think you're doing, Nehemiah? What do you think you're going to succeed? He turned right back at them and he says this, keep your nose out because Jerusalem is none of your business. Sometimes we need to get that attitude with the enemy of our soul and we've got to go, keep your nose out because my life, my family, my workplace is none of your business. My house, my church, my community, my town. Yeah. Do you know what, devil? It's none of your business. Yeah. So keep your nose out. Sometimes we try and be really polite Christians. I think that class skipped me by somewhere along the line because actually I want to take back what's mine. I want to take back the life that God has got for me. What I read out this morning, all of those scriptures, you know what? Those things are mine in Christ Jesus. I can live that life and I can believe that stuff and God can come and do in me all of those things. You know, when the enemy comes and says you're worthless, you say, no, I'm not, because Ephesians 2:10 tells me that I'm God's workmanship. Yeah. I'm created in Christ to do amazing things for him. So it's none of your business. Keep your nose out. We've got to realize what's ours. Nehemiah turned to his enemies and said, Jerusalem's mine and I'm going to have it. And you can say what you like, but Jerusalem is what God has given me to rebuild. And I am going to rebuild it whether you like it or whether you don't. Do you know this morning that we have an enemy of our soul who will come and discourage us, who will come and tell us that those things are never going to happen for us. And sometimes we've just got to turn to him and say, actually, no, God has said it, so it will come to pass. Because we've got to see what's ours, what God has given us. Nehemiah had a confidence in what was his and what was God's and what was not his enemy's. Yeah. Do you know, in this house, we've had our fair share of ruins. Those of you who've been here a long time will know a lot of those. We've had our fair share of seasons that have tried to ruin us. And every time we rise up stronger, and every time we rise up, because why? Because we realize that this is God's house. The moment we start to think man can build it, that's the moment we're in trouble. The moment we decide to think that the leadership has got all the answers, we're really, really in trouble. And the moment we decide that the congregation have got it, well, that's it. That's just, you know. Because actually, man doesn't have the answers. God has the answers. And God says, actually, this is his church. And my Bible tells me that God says he'll build his church. And the gates of hell itself will not stop it. And so this morning, we've got to know what's ours. Those things that you're struggling with in your life, you've got to know this morning that your life is hidden in Christ. That your life this morning is not your own, it belongs to him. And when it's his, he will work everything out. As Deb's has already alluded to in her testimony, he will work everything out for good. We've got to know what is ours. 2 Corinthians 3 verses 16 to 18 says this. He's talking about the veil that used to stop the Old Testament people coming into the presence of God. And when Jesus died, we're told that the veil was torn so that we can go into God's presence. There's nothing between us and God because of what Jesus did. And in light of that, 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18 says this, they suddenly recognize that God is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives. And we what? We become like him. The NIV says this, that we are changed from glory into glory. That there is one degree of what our life is like. And as we get closer to him, it changes. And we become more like Christ. We have to recognize that when we become a Christian, our lives are hidden in Christ. And they don't belong to the enemy anymore. We don't serve him, we serve God. And they belong to us. I can remember when we were adopting Ollie, we went for day one for the introduction. So you go and you sit down with the foster mum and they bring your baby out and they, you know, present you with this child that all of a sudden is going to be your child. And I can remember her bringing Oliver out. And Ollie was not small. Let's just put it that way. And he came out in these kind of, I don't even know what the material was. Pastel blue, short kind of dungarees. So like his fat kind of bulged over. And it was everything he had was pastel colored. And Ollie's quite a fair boy. And I kind of looked at him and thought, oh, you're really cute, but man alive, we need to go shopping. And we were talking to the foster mum one day. She said, I hate denim. I was like, ooh, quite like it myself. And so one day we had him over for the day and we surprised our niece. She was getting baptized that night. And so we took Ollie to the baptism. No one knew that we had him. No one knew that we were even going to be there because we were on introductions. And he came and he had these denim dungarees on that were baggy and they looked absolutely fantastic on him. And I went back and his foster mum said, oh, I don't do denim. But you know what? Within 3 days, there was a changeover of what he looked like, what he wore, okay, what his personality was as the transfer began between foster mum and forever mum. Okay? Because actually, she did a great job for the first 10 months of his life bringing him up, but all of a sudden, forever mummy and daddy come in, and they pick him up, and they go, actually, we think you look better like this. We think that your personality needs to grow in this way, and let's get those denim dungarees out, and let's get you in them, because you look so cute. Yeah. There was a visible difference between foster mum and forever mum.
Right.
Yeah. Visible difference in that little boy. Between one regime and another. And it's not that, you know, it was bad. He had a great foster mum and we are forever grateful to her. But all of a sudden, when he became ours, he changed. Do you know what? When you become his, you should change.
That's right.
You should change. Yeah. And we should be aware of whose we are and what we're going to do because of whose we are. There should be a transition from our enemy who is just there for a while to God who is from everlasting to everlasting.
That's right.
To God who comes, he is our forever daddy. Yeah. He is that father who is going to stick closer to us than anyone else is ever going to do. And as we rebuild, we should become more like him. As we allow God to rebuild our lives, we should become more like him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on to the fourth thing this morning. Because this is what God really spoke to me about as I got before him this last week. And it's simply this, that as we rebuild, he restores. And it's kind of been what we've talked about throughout the whole of our service a bit this morning. But as we get on with the task of rebuilding and allowing God to shape us, as we get on the task of rebuilding here, as we get on the task of rebuilding in our community, as we get on with what God has given us to do, God restores to us.
Right.
I want to read you some verses that were given to me 10 weeks into my marriage breakdown. And given me by now someone who's one of my best friends, but I'd never met her before on the night she read these words over me. Just as a young 20-something, they're quite old words to read over a young person. But she said this to me, and the words are from Joel chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. It says this, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts, the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. You will have plenty to eat until you are full. You will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be shamed. Then you will know that I am in Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed. Do you know what? The word that as we rebuild, he restores is the main thing I think God wants you to hear this morning. That as we rebuild, as we get on with the things that God has given us, restoration doesn't have to take place when we stop everything. In fact, a lot of the time it doesn't. You know, when we think of restoration, we think, oh, I've just got to sit back and I've just got to let God do it all. Do you know what? God's got something for you to do. He's got something for all of us, whether that is bringing up kids, whether that is something in the house of God, whether that is the job that we go to every day, whether that is our family, whatever it is this morning, God has got something for you to do. And as you rebuild, as you get on with the task, it may be rebuilding other people's lives. As you get on with that task, God will restore you. God will restore those things that break your heart. God will restore those things that, you know, just come against you. God is in the business of restoring you as you rebuild what he has given you.
That's right.
And I was challenged when I read towards the end of the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 7, verse 5 says this, he's built the walls, he's built the gates, the city is ready, but the city is empty. And it says this in Nehemiah 7, verse 5, God put it in my heart to gather the nobles, the officials, and the people in general to be registered. I found the genealogical record of those who were in the first return from the exile, and this is what I found. And then he lists people after people after people in the next few verses of Nehemiah. But this is what he said, God put it in my heart to gather. And just over the life of our church, I think this is bigger than maybe just for some of you. I believe that God's put it in our hearts to gather people. Twice it's been prophesied over Matt and I, first time at our wedding, second time when Jen came over last year, that we would see the prodigals come back to Christ. So when we knelt at the altar on our wedding day and they came to pray over us for our marriage, this is what came out. And you will sit with prodigals in your living room and you will lead them back to Christ. And I'm still praying that prayer, God, when is that going to begin? You know, when are the prodigals going to come and sit in my lounge and I'm going to begin to pray over them? And then as Jen came over last year, she was prophesying over Matt and I. And these were her words. I see people lining up outside the door of your house and they're going to come in and they're going to find Christ again. Exactly the same word as was spoken over us 14 years ago, nearly on our wedding day. Do you know what, church? It's about time we began to gather people. Because as we rebuild, he restores. As we get on with the task that he has given to us, he is going to begin to restore. I really believe this. I believe this is a prophetic word over the life of our church, that he is going to begin to restore people that have walked away. And they're going to come with all their ruins. And they're going to come with their broken down walls. And they're going to come, you know, Nehemiah said that it was the gates were on fire. They're going to come with all of that. And this morning, I want to say to you, and we're going to begin to pick up the stones one by one, and we're going to begin to build something incredible with their life. Nehemiah began to gather people back to the city that they'd been driven out of. And for some people, they've been driven out of the presence of God and out of the church. And for some people, it's through hurts from the church. And maybe we're going to have to apologize on behalf of another church. Maybe we're going to have to come and sit with people as they share their disappointment and say, do you know what? That's okay. But we're going to pick up those bricks and we're going to build something amazing in your life. Because we're going to gather people. I have people on my heart that have walked away from God. But it's time to gather them back. Some of you parents in here, I've got kids that have walked away. It's time to gather them back. It's time to welcome them home. It's time to leave the judgment aside and just go, come on, whatever the ruins of the past, let's look at the grace of your future. Whatever stuff you're going to walk in with, whatever things have broken down in your world, you know what? There's a God that I know who rebuilds so incredibly well. Because you know what? He's rebuilt my life. When I think about that verse that Jen gave me all those years ago when I was in my 20s about that I'll repay to you what they'll give you back, what the locusts have taken. I was kind of thinking, what had they taken? They'd taken my self-esteem. I have never been so low in self-esteem as in that time of my life. They'd taken my home. I was living with someone else at the time because I had no home. You know, it had taken my marriage. It had taken that relationship. And this is what God said to me through Jen that night. When I give it back to you, it will happen quickly. So don't worry about that. Don't worry about it. There were people on the sidelines of my world saying, you know, Math and I's relationship had come too quickly. And, you know, should you really be doing this and all that? I had to shut those voices out because the word of God had said to me, when it happens, it will happen quickly. And that is absolutely fine. So this morning, it's time for us to gather. And what we're going to do this evening at Encounter is we're going to be praying over some, the book of Nehemiah calls them exiles. We'll call them prodigals. We're going to be praying over them this evening. We're going to be worshiping together, and then we're going to be asking God. I love the fact that Nehemiah named them. Maybe it's about time we need to do that. We need to name them. And I may not know all the names on your list, and you may not know all the names on my list, but as a church, it's time to gather. I love gathering people. I love gathering people to eat together, to worship together, to pray together. And if we're going to do all three at once, man alive, it's going to be great. Yeah. Summer is going to be excellent in this church because we're doing all of those three things together throughout the whole of summer. Yeah. And I say to you, it's about time we gathered. Right. It's about time we became a church that doesn't always count someone's past, but we look to their future and we gather them. My prayer is, God, that word that you've spoken over Math and I, maybe it may be a word that you speak over many people in this house. Yeah. That we're going to sit and we're going to lead people back to you. And so this morning, I just want to give us some time. To pray together. It's a time to gather. Well, we're all that night. If you're a guy in here this morning, Paul's gathering you all next Saturday, 9:30, 9 o'clock, Tina's calf. If you're a guy in here, why not go to that? Big breakfast, okay? Big cooked breakfast. But he's gathering. He's part of the gathering. Maybe there's a guy that you know that used to be in the house of God and he's not there anymore. Why not take him to that? Why don't we start the gathering this week? Why not ask them? Worst they can do is say no. Let's begin to gather. So this morning, maybe you need to decide to pick up the rebuild again of your life. Maybe this morning, you need to take back what is yours and realize what is yours doesn't belong to an enemy who says you can't have it, you can't do anything with it. Or maybe this morning, you need to allow God to restore you as you're rebuilding. Maybe he needs to restore peace back into your life. Maybe he needs to restore order into your chaos. Maybe this morning, he needs to restore his relationship with you again. Maybe he needs to restore your soul. Maybe this morning you're coming and you're saying, God, as I'm rebuilding, will you restore those who once walked with you? Maybe it's your child. For me, it's those kids who were in my youth group. Because when you really pastor young people, they become an extension of your family. God, as we rebuild, will you restore? Maybe you've got a rob done in your life like we've got in ours. And this morning, I want to pray with you. So if one of those things for you, don't always do this, but we are going to this morning, and maybe you just need to come and spend some time with Jesus. We're not going to come and madly prophesy over everyone or anything like that, but this morning, maybe you need to respond to something. Why don't you leave where you are and just come to the front? I won't get round probably and pray over everybody. But it's you saying to God, God, come on, I'm rebuilding. I need restoring. I need you to do something in my life. God, I'm making a decision to start today on what it is you've called me to do. So if that's you, why not leave your seat? We don't usually do this in our church, but I think when you're making a decision like this, sometimes it's good for other people to see that you're doing that. Sometimes it's good for you to get out of your seat and make that declaration to God. So Richard's just going to play. We've got the next few moments in God's presence. Maybe something I've said this morning you need to respond to. Why don't you just come, and why don't you do business with God this morning as he plays? You might want to stand, you might want to kneel. It's entirely up to you. God, will you restore? When you're at the front, why don't you just begin to talk to God and Father God, pray that you restore in Jesus' name, Father. Pray that you'll give back what years might have eaten away. Lord God, thank you that you spark hope in us again. Thank you that, Father God, we can believe again when we come to you. And Jesus, Lord, I pray restoration. God, restoration that is seen. God, restoration this morning. Father God, that is so gentle and so tender, Father. Lord God, I pray this morning, Father God, I thank you. Psalm 23 says that you restore my soul. You restore my soul. And Lord, I pray for a restoration over people's soul and relationship with you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you will put peace where worry is residing right now, that you will bring order where chaos is there, Father. And I thank you that in the middle of all that, that Father God, you restore those that are around us. Lord God, I thank you, God, that the promise this morning is that people are coming home. Father, I thank you this morning, God, for the promise that you are going to do in our families, in our community, God, incredible things, that you are going to rebuild lives, Father God, that you are going to rebuild families, that you are going to rebuild, Father God, people who have walked away from you. And Father God, I thank you in the middle of that, as we get on with what you have called us to do, thank you, God, that we are your workmanship, that we're created in Christ Jesus. We're not created in anything else but in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I pray that this morning your Holy Spirit, God, will confirm your word into our lives, God, that your Holy Spirit this morning will confirm, Father God, whose we are. God, we belong to you. And Lord God, I pray this morning that your word will just be confirmed and sealed in our lives, Father. Lord, I thank you this morning that, God, we can come and we can start the build today. God, we can pick up the tools again. We can pick up the things that we need again, Father, and we can begin to build, and we can begin to allow your Holy Spirit to do a new thing in us. God, your Holy Spirit to come and to just birth something different in us, Father. Lord, I thank you that even though you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that, God, you come and you do new things in us. And Lord God, I thank you this morning for what you're doing in us. And Lord, I pray over this house. Let's stand together, guys, this morning. Father, I pray over this house that we will be a gatherer of people that have once walked with you. That, God, we will be gatherers, Father God, of people who need to rebuild maybe some brokenness that they've experienced. And Father, this morning, I pray inside of each one of us that you will put that gatherer in us. Father God, inside of each one of us this morning, that we will be people that don't turn people off, but we will be people that gather people. Father God, I pray inside of each one of us that you will put the truth of the word of God mixed with the grace. Lord, I love that verse that says truth and grace have kissed. God, we can have both truth and grace in the house. The two are meant to live, coexisting. And Lord, I pray over us as a house that, God, we will be a house that gathers. That we will be a house that gathers people that have never known you, and we will be a house that gathers those that have known you and have walked away. Those people right now that are in our minds, Lord, I pray that, God, you will cause us to pray for them until they come home. Father God, give us something that is going to keep us praying, that is going to keep us believing, God, for those that have once walked with you. Lord, let us be the gatherers. Let us be the gatherers. Jesus, you told the story of the prodigal son. That story is your story. And Lord, I pray that we will join you, Father God, in waiting for those that are going to run home, in waiting for those that are going to come back. And Lord, I pray that we'll be ready to celebrate when that happens, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys are just going to lead us. And then when we finished, I'm not going to pray again, but we can go down and we can have cafe. We're going to sing, It's Your Breath in Our Lungs. And we're going to come and worship God together one more time. And we're going to praise Him. And we're going to begin to visualize those people coming home. We're going to begin to visualize that restoration that we've prayed over this morning. And so, come on, let's worship together one last time. And then we can go and grab coffee together. Thanks, guys.